As you know, the last few weeks we've been concentrating on the scripture, Galatians 6 verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We said do not be deceived means do not be misled. And we said God cannot be mocked means you can't put your fingers up to God. And we said a man reaps what he sows means a lot of things. But we said it's a big positive. We've established that seed time and harvest are promised. We've also said that the type of seed that we sow, the state of ground we sow into, and the generosity with which we sow all affect the harvest. We've said that whether we sow consciously or not, we are still sowing. We've also said consequences are a benefit, or they are a welcome reminder of sonship, or if we've disregarded our sonship, then they are a loud reminder that we should turn back to the Father. Overall, the promise that a man reaps what he sows is a big positive. If we harness this in our lives, then inevitable blessing is the result. Right, so I just want to tie up this with just sort of thinking a few thoughts about where we've been and just throwing in a few more for good measure. Maybe you might ask this morning, what can I do about bad sowing? If you've sowed some things in your life that are bad, what can you do about it? Well, in terms of what we've said in previous weeks, you can plough up your heart. If you've got something growing in the ground which is not what you want to harvest, then what you can do is plough it in, can't you? So you can plough your heart. That means soften your heart. If you know that you have been sowing a bad crop, soften your heart. How do you soften your heart? Well, what you do is you turn away from everything that hardens your heart and you come before God and you make sure that before God you are intimate with him, that you are listening to him and you are responsive to him. You can plant good seed. You might say, ah, yeah, but the time of sowing is past. You know, I've already sowed this. Listen, if you've prepared your heart, if you have ploughed your heart, you can sow something. Sow something good now so that you will receive a harvest from that later. And you can tend your heart and your crop. These are all things you can do. What do you do about the consequences of what you've planted? Well, you know, we need to get our minds off a negative kick with this. When we talk about consequences, we immediately think bad things, don't we? But the consequences of sowing anything is a harvest. And you want a harvest, don't you? So what do you do about the consequences of what you've planted? I'll tell you what you do. You rejoice. Rejoice that a harvest is on its way. Because you see, if you actually believe that God is a good God, and we do, don't we? If you actually believe that it's a big positive that a man reaps what he sows, then you should rejoice that a harvest is coming to you, even if you are concerned that you sowed a bad crop. Because if a harvest is coming to you, then the consequences are a benefit, because it is a harvest. And if they don't appear a benefit, then they will be a reminder to you of your sonship, because God will discipline you. And if you have disregarded your sonship, then they will be a loud reminder that it's time to turn back to the Father. So they are a benefit. You see that, don't you? You see, whatever stage of that, that is a good thing. So what should you do about the consequences of what you planted? Rejoice. Rejoice that harvest is coming, because it's a good thing. Make sure that you are with the Father. You know, that's the place to be. If you've left the Father, if you've turned away and you sowed something you shouldn't have sowed and you've spent yourself in whatever way, make sure you are back with the Father, because that's where the good harvest will be, with the Father. And invoke Romans 8:28. I tell you, this verse has been... There have been two verses in my life that have been absolutely the mainstay of my life. One is this, Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their vindication from me, says the Lord. This verse has been phenomenal in my life. And the other one that has continually turned for blessing in my life is this. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You are the called of God. You are the called of God. God loves you. Therefore, in all things God is working for your good. And whatever you have sown, you know, you may feel, oh God, I really loused up. I really did something wrong there. That was not the right thing to sow into that situation. Well, repent before God and invoke Romans 8:28. Pray, Lord, I maybe didn't do this quite right, but I am asking you, Father, that even in this, all things will work together for my good. And do you know what? It will have to do, because God says that it will. So, what can you do about the consequences of planting? Invoke Romans 8:28. It will always work for you because God is working for you, because you are the called and you are the loved. I'm glad I'm the called and the loved this morning. How should this affect my life? Well, think carefully about the condition of your heart and look to your Father. You know, everything should make us think about the condition of our heart and go and be, make sure our relationship with the Father is right. What else should you do? Sow good seed. Deliberately. Hilariously. You know that Greek word, hilaros. It means with wanton abandon that you are just, you're just sowing seed, oh, recklessly almost. Hilariously. Proverbs 3, verse 9, a fabulous scripture. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, I think it's a wonderful position to find that your barns are full and your vats are overflowing. Don't you think that's fantastic? Well, that is for you. That is the promise of God to you if you are a hilaros giver. Here's another thing you can do. Hold harvest festival at the time of planting. Oh, but surely, you know, we rejoice at the harvest. Harvest festival is all about rejoicing that the harvest is safely gathered in. Do you know something? We need to start rejoicing when we sow. You see, I think that you can't really be a hilaros giver unless you rejoice when you sow. You know, if we are actually giving out of a hilaros spirit, then it should be the fact that we are really rejoicing when we give. You see, God loves a cheerful, a hilaros giver. God loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's not enough just to be get half a bottle of whiskey down you, then you'll give anything. That doesn't mean what it means, a cheerful. Oh, he's a bit cheerful. Oh, he must have had a bit to drink before he gave in the offering. It's not about that. It's about rejoicing when you sow. It's about getting happy when you give. And then, fantastic levels of harvest will come in due time. You see, you might say, well, surely we should rejoice when the harvest comes in. Rejoice when the harvest comes in as well. Have a second rejoicing. Have a second harvest festival when you've actually got it. Well, I think that's good anyway. Right, so here's some points to wrap up our series. Number one, you see, all of that was preamble. None of that was actually the ministry. Can you believe that? All of that, all those points. And I've just started now. This is now number one. Wow. You see, this is a preacher's trick. You say, ah, well, this morning I've only got 5 points. That's because I got rid of 3 of them before I even started. Don't you think that's clever? Well, I do. Right. Number one, you are the seed. Did you know that? You are the seed. Galatians 3:16, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. So Christ is the seed. What did Christ do? He said this, I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. Do you remember in Galatians 3:16, it talks about a single seed, which is the Christ. The Christ says, but unless I fall to the ground and die, I will remain a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Where have you come from this morning? You have come from one seed being buried. Jesus of Nazareth, who died on a cross, has brought you into rebirth. You have come from Christ this morning. You are many seed. Everything you do and everything you are involved in, you are seed. When you get up in the morning and you go to work, you are sowing yourself. When you mix with anybody, you are sowing yourself into the conversation. You are sowing yourself into the activity. You are sowing yourself into the circle of people you are with. You are seed. If you are seed and a man reaps what he sows, you can receive a harvest out of sowing yourself into the situation. I said to you the first week we started on this, it isn't all about money. You know, so often we have heard a man reaps what he sows, it's talking about money. Oh, it's money, it's money, it's finances. It is about finances, but it isn't only finances. It's about you. You are the seed. I am the seed. I have the choice to sow myself liberally. I have the choice to sow myself into every person's life that I meet. You are the seed. Wow, I think that's amazing. You apply this promise to yourself. How about this? Philippians 4, verse 18. Paul says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Somebody sowed some gifts into the life of Paul. They sowed so that Paul was all right. You got that? Somebody sowed into Paul. Right. This is what Paul says about the gifts that they sowed into his life. He says, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you sowed into my life. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you sowed into my life, therefore my God will supply all your need. You see, so often we just quote that, my God shall supply all your need. My God supplies the need of him who sows. It's true. It's absolutely true. Why hasn't my need been met, God? Well, what have you sown? Lord, why isn't there a good harvest in my life? Well, what happened to that good seed I gave you? What did you do with it? Oh, well, Lord, it's under the mattress for a rainy day. Well, you can't have a harvest from that good seed, can you? You understand? My God will supply all your need. Point number three. It's all right now. You see, we got rid of that preamble and we're already on point three, so it's not too bad. Size matters, but what are we measuring? Size matters, but what are we measuring? Now, I've got some really long scriptures for you now. I love scripture. I love scripture. You might say, he doesn't preach, he just reads scripture. Well, that's the best preaching there is. Luke 12:16. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Sounds good to me. He thought to himself, what shall I do? That's what we do, isn't it? That's what we do. We sit there and we think, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What was wrong with this guy? He had a good crop. He must have sowed good seed. He thought to himself, what shall I do? We all do that. There was nothing wrong with this bloke. He was doing the right things. He recognised the truth. I have no place to store my crops, he said. That was true. His barns were not big enough. There was nothing wrong with any of that. Then it went wrong. He said to himself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Can you see that what was actually wrong in this man was the bag he had sown from? Not the seed he had sown, but the bag he had sown from. This was a man whose attitude was a selfish attitude. This was a man whose heart was to himself. You see, what could this man have done? He could have said, well, God has blessed me with a fantastic crop. I have got more than I can store. Well, I know of a village nearby where they've had a bad crop this year. I could take them a cartload of grain and I would still have enough for myself, but I could bless those people. Could have done that, couldn't he? He could have taken some of the grain to the temple as an offering for the priests and the Levites who have no inheritance in Israel other than what is brought to them as sacrifice. There were many things this man could have done, but no, what he said is, what I'm going to do is I'm going to opt for a life of self-indulgence. This reaping and sowing thing really works. Therefore, I am going to milk it for everything. And that was his heart. You see, what happened was his barns grew, but his heart shrunk. This was a man with a small heart and big barns. And let me tell you, it isn't the right way round. It's not the way to live life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the chapter that I think says everything about giving. We've got this quoted on our little envelopes for gift aid, and I think this is fabulous. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has. Well, you know, you could end the sentence there, couldn't you? Each man should give, right? But it goes on. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, there's a lot of all there. Did you notice that? In all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Abounds bigger than all. All's big, abounds bigger. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Do you think there's a principle there? God has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. He's scattered, he's sowed his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. God in himself has inherited an eternal righteousness because he has given his gifts to the poor. Now, and here's this fantastic thing. He who supplies seed to the sower, where do you get your seed from in the first place? From God. And bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge your harvest, the harvest of your righteousness. Yes, if he will supply you seed, you sow the seed, he will enlarge your harvest and therefore your store. You can have a store of seed that God will enlarge for you. What does it say in verse 11? This is fabulous. You know, people who say, I don't believe that God intends us to prosper. You know, Jesus walked around with just the sandals on his feet and, you know, whatever. You will be made rich in every way. The word rich there in the Greek is the word that means have a lot of money, right? You will be made rich in every way so that, did you notice there was a so that? You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You sow generosity, you harvest thanksgiving to God. That's a good one. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Do you know something? When you meet someone's need, people say thanks to God. You stimulate praise when you meet someone's need. Think about it. You know, if someone meets my need, I thank them. But I'll tell you what, I go away and I really thank God. And that's the sort of heart. It's a heart that says, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be given you as well. It's not a heart that says, I'm seeking big barns so that I can live it up. Oh, bless God. I believe in the blessing and mighty provision of God. My God will supply all my needs so I can live it up. No, it does not say that. It says, my God shall supply all your need because you've sowed into my need. You met my need in sowing to me. My God will supply all your need. And it goes on to say, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. You know, that's what it's all about. Do you know something? You can, in this life, you can be a multimillionaire. And when you die, when you pass on from this life, you could have nothing left. But I tell you what, you will have done what God wanted. You can have been generous on every occasion. You can have met needs. You can have brought praise to God. You can have released a shout of praise that has rocked the universe. Do you know something? Our tax pounds, I was going to say tax dollars then, who have I been listening to? Our tax pounds are being spent on instruments that are listening in space for the sound of the Big Bang. They reckon if they can get instruments in space sensitive enough, they can hear the Big Bang going off. because the sound must still be echoing through the universe. Do you know something? We can sow into the kingdom of God in such a way in which praise will resound through the universe. And can I tell you something? If they ever get their instruments tuned right, they'll hear that it's actually the praises of God that are ringing through the universe that he has made. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, have you ever wondered how you prove yourself? By acts of service. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Don't you think that's powerful? Don't you think that is so powerful? Wouldn't you like to see men praising God? How do you do that? Because of the service by which you prove yourselves. Because of your generosity, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. You have the power to release praise in the hearts of men. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Have you ever felt, I just wish someone could pray for me now? Have you ever thought, I just wish someone could pray for me now? Listen, you be generous and share with people, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. What has God given you? God has given you seed to sow. It's a surpassing grace that God has given you, that seed to sow. I tell you, people will pray for you if you are generous. And yes, it works for money, but it works for everything else. If you are generous with your time, if you are generous with your life, people will praise God because of you, and they'll be praying for you. Now, you might say, yes, but okay, this is what you're saying is we need a big heart instead of big barns. What we need is a heart that's big towards people. We need to go back to what we said the other week about these great two commands. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, body and mind. And your neighbour as yourself. Because in this, all the law and the prophets are summarised. Yes, we need to go back to that. And there is an example. We have an example in Scripture in Philippians 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his spirit, and you do have to have fellowship with his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, can I tell you, you fellowship with his spirit, and you'll get some tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Listen, if that's why you're doing it, stop doing it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Now, there's a challenge for all of us, isn't there? The scripture says, consider others better than yourselves. Well, why should we do that? Here's why. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Can I ask you, how do you make yourself nothing? Well, here's the answer. You sow everything you've got. If you sow everything you've got, you make yourself nothing. But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Jesus sowed his body in death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. The harvest that Jesus received for sowing his body in death was to be exalted to the highest place. God gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, let this attitude be in you. Have a big heart. Have a heart that's prepared to sow everything you've got, even to the point of death. Because what did Jesus benefit by? Let me tell you, Jesus benefited by receiving a name that's above every name. That was a harvest that Jesus reaped. And what other harvest does Jesus reap? Because Jesus became the firstborn of many brethren. Who were his brothers? Me, 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 me. You, 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 you. We are his brothers. We are the harvest. Point four. The harvest doesn't look like the seed. Think about it. Whatever you sow, the harvest doesn't look like what you sowed. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. Paul's saying, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else, but God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. And he goes on to talk about the resurrection from the dead. He says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. We will be, the harvest will be that we will get a new body. For this perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Sowing has been swallowed up in harvest. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves. Always give yourselves. Sow yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In other words, you will reap a great harvest. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says very much the same thing, but he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. You will receive a great harvest. And can I tell you something? You don't get it all when you die. It isn't all a reward in heaven. It works now. And I tell you, we ought to encourage one another with these words that there is a reward in heaven. He says that we should encourage ourselves. Encourage one another. You will be rewarded in heaven. But let me tell you this, there's also a harvest here as well, and it's a good one. You are God's harvest. For you have been born again, 1 Peter 1:23 says, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. The word was preached to you. It was sown into you, the imperishable seed of God. That seed has grown in you, and a harvest is coming in your life. That is God's harvest. God has sown into us his word. He is expecting and will receive a great harvest, because his word will not return to him void. Isaiah 55 verse 11. Conclusion. Oh Lord, we thank you. He's come to the conclusion. There are healthy reminders and lessons in all of this for us, and in the promise that a man reaps what he sows. It's healthy to think about consequences and harvests and see how all of them can be a benefit to us. And I hope that having thought about this, you now understand the old saying that what goes around comes around. Above anything else, there is a releasing of enormous proportion as we tap into these promises, as long as there is a sharp kingdom focus in our lives. If our heart is big, rather than just our barns, we can have big barns as well. Have the same mind as Jesus, and the willingness to sow even our very lives. We will reap a great harvest in due time, both here and in heaven. The secret this morning is having a big heart. Have a big heart and you will have big barns as well. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And I am glad about that this morning. Amen? Amen.